All right. As promised, we are joined right now by a senior NBA writer at Bleacher Report. He is the host of the Full 48 podcast. If you don't know about his role as the king of Red Vines by now, that's on you, not him. It's not his fault. It's your fault. Howard Beck is my guest. Howard, it's great to have you back. How are you?
Doing well, Romy. How are you?
Good, bud. How about you? How are things?
Just cruising along, nice, dull conference finals, lots of blowouts, waiting for something to get interesting, but we'll see that soon enough, I'm sure.
All right, so if you're the Houston Rockets, Howard, and you're watching film of last night's game, what's going through your mind right now?
It's a great question. That they've got to figure out the one thing that no one's been able to figure out for the last, four seasons, basically, which is if Steph Curry's cooking like that, is there an answer? I don't know that there is, especially when you've got to have one eye at all times on Kevin Durant off to the side. I mean, the impossibility of the Warriors really comes down to those two. We talk about their four All-Stars, and there's so many dimensions to this team that those four bring. But when it comes right down to it, what took this team from already great to perhaps unbeatable was that Durant element. And so, look, Curry didn't get on track those first couple of games. You knew, if healthy, this kind of game was coming. What can the Rockets do about that? I mean, that's for Jeff Bizdelic and Mike D'Antoni to figure out. But I don't know that the Warriors are a solvable problem. I've never been convinced that at full health they're a solvable problem.
Yeah, I was just going to say, Howard, I mean, if you're Mike D'Antoni, exactly what do you do? What can they do? If you've got Steph doing what he was doing, if you've got Kevin Durant doing what he has been doing, and Draymond locking it down on defense the way he is, exactly how do you beat Golden State?
It's going to take all of their offensive weapons, and they just don't have as many, right? Like, Chris Paul has not been that impactful on this series so far. James Harden, as great as he is, just hasn't been good enough. And beyond those two, Clint Capella is this really nice piece for them, but he's not a creator, obviously. He's a guy who's going to feed off of the two-point guards and score on duck-ins and putbacks, and he's going to affect the game with his shot blocking and his defense. But they just don't have that other dimension. And so trying to keep up with them, if it's a defensive struggle, that's one thing. If it's all about trying to outscore them, I really just don't think. They can. They don't have those kinds of players. I think the best they can do is get the Warriors playing a plodding, slow-down game because the Rockets, thrive in those isolation sets. And maybe they can do more to try to get Curry off his game by getting him in early foul trouble and attacking the way they did before. But we saw if they go too far with that strategy, they get stagnant. So, again, I don't know if it's a solvable problem.
Howard Beck, NBA senior writer for Bleacher Report, joining us. I mean, Howard, the Rockets are a really good team. You don't stumble your way into 65 games. You have to be a really good team. But if they lose this series, and especially if they lose it in five games, they're going to take some heat. They're going to take some criticism. In your mind, is it justified? How fair would that be?
It's always fair. It's always fair game, especially when you win 65 games. But that said, I don't think anybody went into this postseason, aside from the Rockets, believing that the Rockets would actually be the better team. Whether you go down in five, six, seven games, if they lose this series, it's still going to go down as a major disappointment because they've got two, future Hall of Famers in the backcourt. They've got a team that was, among the best offensively and defensively this season. Expectations were high, but we are, they are operating in an era where the Warriors are putting a historically great lineup out on the court. I think the bigger concern is this, Jim. Chris Paul, great pickup for them last summer, but he's 33. He just turned 33 a couple weeks ago. I don't know how big their window actually is with this group. Even if they re-sign him, which obviously is kind of assumed this summer, they're going to re-sign him. They'll probably keep Clint Capella, although he's going to get some big offers. But is this group good enough to just run it back with? Can they add? How are they going to add? They've obviously, like most teams, they've got cap problems. And Chris Paul's 33. What's the actual window for contending with him as James Harden's running mate? And if he doesn't have that long of a future or that much left as an elite player, who's replacing him? How do you extend the era with somebody else? So that's going to be the struggle for them. And again, that's assuming they go down in this round.
I think these are great points. Howard Beck is my guest. Howard, help me with this. After the game one win, there started to be all this talk that Golden State is bad for basketball. It seemed to resurface once again last night. If they win this series and they win another championship, you can only imagine how much louder the talk is going to get. So what do you make of that particular argument?
I don't dismiss it, Jim. It's an eye of the beholder thing. You know, on the one hand, the ratings will probably be through the roof again. People love watching the Warriors, whether they hate watching them or love watching them, whether they just think that they're entertaining, whether they want to see somebody else knock them out. They draw. They are a draw. That level of talent is always going to be attractive to watch. So you can't say it's bad from a ratings perspective in the finals. It's bad from a suspense perspective because we start the season thinking that no one has a shot. Well, we at least had some suspense, Jim. The Warriors didn't finish with the best record in the NBA or in their conference. They did start this series on the road, but promptly stole home court advantage back. And there's at least been some sense that the Rockets could take them down. And look, that's still yet to be determined. It's only a 2-1 series. But if the Warriors go back, if they win another championship and it's 3 and 4 years, and whoever's coming out of the East is just going to get smoked, we can assume that, then, yeah, I think some people will feel like this is a little bit dull. And the Warriors are young enough in that core that they're going to be together for a while. And it's impossible for anybody to match that. And that's the biggest problem, Jim. It's not just that they're great. Yeah, other teams have had runs. Yeah, the Lakers won 3 in a row and the Bulls won 6 out of 8. Nobody looked at those teams and said, there's no way we can try to compete with them based on number of stars. The Bulls had 2. The Lakers with Shaq and Kobe had 2. This is an era where the Warriors have 4 of the best 15 players in the game, depending on where you want to draw the line on the top 15, top 20, whatever. You can't just stack up 4 of your own. It's not that easy. And it almost requires that to contend with them. So, again, it's not about how many finals they go to. It's not about how many championships. If there's a problem, I would say it's because trying to match what they have in a 30-team league with a salary cap and a luxury tax and a limited number of elite players to go around, that's where the problem comes in, because you just can't replicate what they have.
No, you can't, and we'll see where LeBron ends up and whether or not he can help rebuild a basketball Voltron someplace else. Before you go, Howard, I don't want to say that you have a crystal ball, but you did write a piece a while back on Jordan Bell that was titled The Perfect Warrior, and he did give Steve Kerr some good minutes last night. Why is Bell able to fit into that team and get Kerr's trust so that he's playing important minutes in Game 3 of the Western Conference Finals? What makes this guy different?
Yeah, I was happy to see him get some run last night. I thought he was going to get more back when I wrote that story a couple months back. Look, Kevin Looney got into some foul trouble, so it opened the door there. But they have always felt internally that Jordan Bell was the guy that, looking ahead, was going to be the perfect center for them to go with that Hamptons group, with 4 of the 5 Hamptons group, that when they're going to start a quote-unquote traditional center, which Jordan Bell really isn't either, but he's got the athleticism and the agility and the ability to guard across 5 positions, to switch across 5 positions, that, and the strength as well to be able to bang with opposing centers, that he fits really well with their 4 all-stars. And so when you're not going Hamptons 5 with Iguodala out there, when you're going semi-traditional with a big at the 5, Jordan Bell has that right makeup. And he just, personality-wise, The bravado he has in his game, there's just so much about him that, as I wrote about in that story, that makes him fit perfectly with this group. So even if he doesn't end up being influential as I thought he might in this postseason when I wrote the story, I think that that's the guy to pay attention to going forward, because I think eventually when they let Zaza go, when they move on from JaVale and all that, Jordan Bell is going to be the guy that they really believe can be the fixture at center with that group.
He is a senior NBA writer at Bleacher Report, the host of the Full 48 podcast as well. Howard Beck, my guest. Howard, thanks so much. Always good to have you on the show. Howard, well done.
Always a pleasure, Jim. Thank you.
Have a great day. Howard Beck. All right, so your thoughts on that. What he had to say, he actually made a lot of really interesting points.